come up on the screen for you to read. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. These women are impressive. They're up early and diligently wanting to attend to the body of Jesus. They were determined to put spices on his body, even though it was seemingly all over. But even on their journey to the tomb, they recognized a problem. The stone that had been rolled in front of the entrance was going to be too heavy for them to move. But God had already provided for them. An angel had already seen to this. Spurgeon says this. Now, it took me a few readings to get my head around it, so I'll go slowly. "Take comfort from this verse, you who are seeking to serve the Lord. There will be sure to be stones in your way, and some of them very great ones. But they will be rolled away in the Lord's time. In the rolling away, often you will have the greater joy. If the effort shall need the strength of an angel, then an angel will be sent from heaven for the purpose." There might have been no angel if there had been no stone, and you might have no revelation of the power of heaven to help you if you had not first had a revelation of your own weakness and inability to roll away the stone. So at the beginning of Mark 16, Mary and the other women saw some evidence of something having changed. The stone was rolled away, and a young man dressed in a white robe was sitting on the side of the stone. And he spoke to them and said, "Don't be alarmed." I love how they always say that. "You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has risen." He told them to go and tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was going ahead of them to Galilee, and they'd see him there just as he'd told them. But verse 8 says, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Now, Mark is a brilliant storyteller. He intentionally ended his book abruptly. So through the book, the disciples have been confused about Jesus' plan to give up his life. And the story in the middle and right here at the end, it's like Mark is acknowledging just how alarming this claim is. And he wants you, the reader, to wrestle with this yourself. Is this crucified Jesus really the Messiah that they've been waiting for? Can you imagine if the story had ended there? I wonder if we'd ever know that Jesus had risen from the dead. In the book of Mark, there seems to be some discussion on whether the next verses, have you ever seen that in your Bible, the notes at the bottom of Mark, whether they were actually written by Mark, as some earlier manuscripts don't have verses 9 to 20. But because this is present in 99% of manuscripts, it has traditionally been considered canonical, which means it's accepted as part of the Bible, and it's been kept in the text. So as it's safe, we're going to keep reading. So from verse 9, When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. We know of other women that Jesus met in the Bible. Lisa explored the story of the woman at the well in our last family service, but we don't get to know her name. Last week, we heard about the woman caught in adultery, but we don't get to know her name. Not only do we know Mary's name, but we know where she was from, and we know a bit about her past. The Word of God makes Mary Magdalene one of the most famous in the Bible. Interestingly, whenever a number is used in Scripture, it can be significant. Here we're told that Jesus had driven seven demons out of her. And seven is the number of completeness. When God created, he rested on the seventh day. As creation was whole, it was complete. But what must it feel like to be afflicted by seven demons, totally, completely possessed? Was she someone who people had completely given up on? She's beyond saving. But we know that she had met Jesus. And here he chooses Mary Magdalene to be the first witness of his resurrected body. And I love the next verse. She's straight to action. She went and told those who had been with him. This time, there's no hesitation. There's no trembling. There's no bewilderment or fear like there had been when the angel had spoken to her. This time, she'd met him. The one who had healed her and had given her her life back. So what does that mean for us when we're sharing our faith? It's great to invite people to church, to Friendship Hub, to Fusion, etc., etc. But let's not forget to invite them to know Jesus himself. Here in this account, it's meeting with the resurrected Jesus that makes all the difference for Mary's life. She goes to find the disciples and they are in an utter state of grief. Can you picture the scene? They are too distraught to even comprehend the news that Jesus is alive and that Mary has seen him for her, has seen him for herself. Do you expect to be believed when you tell the story of the resurrection or any other part of the gospel? We actually have quite a hard job. We're not speaking to those who have spent the last 3 years of their life with Jesus. And we're speaking to those who are over 2,000 years apart from this happening. Probably to those who have no relation to the land of Israel. And we're also not Mary Magdalene. So our account of the resurrection is probably not going to be as good as hers. But if the statistics are true, Talking Jesus, which is a UK survey taken last year among 4,000 adults, 45% of the population believe in the resurrection. So maybe it's not quite as hard as we think. The question might be, do we believe in Mary's account? And if so, let's continue to tell it, whether or not we are believed. You see, the further we get away from the resurrection in time, the harder it is, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the same as he was then, and we rely on him to bring faith into our hearts and minds. We rely on him to bring us the same confidence and boldness that he gave Mary after her encounter with the risen Jesus to go and tell this story. It's sobering to hear, I didn't read it, but in the next few verses, Jesus appears to the disciples and he rebukes them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. Can you picture Mary's face in the background as he's busy rebuking the disciples? Do you think she went, "I told you so"? But to finish, please, can we not see the story of the resurrection as just a happy ending to the sadness of the cross? Don't close the book. Keep it open. Because Easter is the beginning of a new narrative. Something new has happened. Jesus' resurrection has opened up a whole new story. And right now, we are a part of that story here on earth. It's such a privilege to be resurrection people and to know the work of the Spirit in our lives. As we were praying this morning, as we contend with these bodies and our situations here on earth, we are resurrection people. And he wants to do a work in us today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus. Thank you that Jesus was a man of action. We see throughout the Gospels that he healed, he taught, he spent time with people. And yet, here at the Easter weekend, where we've seen your death on the cross, where we've had the quietness of the Saturday, and where we now have this hope of resurrection, we see power, but in your surrender to the Father. Thank you for surrendering your life so that we could experience this resurrection power. So we surrender our lives this morning, and we thank you for this incredible account of you beating death, of you beating sin, and changing our life forever. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. Kids, you can carry on with what you're doing, or you can pick up an instrument if you want to for the last song. But